It's a pleasure this evening to introduce our speaker. And I know that he's spent time to prepare and that the Spirit has told him what to prepare for. And that's a message for us, that we might follow after the will of God, that we might live our lives according to His grace. And so I'm glad to introduce our Brother Bob as our speaker. Brother Bob?
Thank you, David. Good evening. I do appreciate your prayers. It's what a beautiful day we had today. It's the joys of living here, I guess. Just you look outside and it's just so nice. But I do have some thoughts. I hope that that you'll be edified with the day. But I did want to talk a little bit about the weekend. You know, we have a holiday this weekend. Tomorrow's Memorial Day, and Memorial Day, my memory. I wish I could just remember what Memorial Day was. But actually, I do want to touch on a couple of things. You know, kind of springing off of that thought of Memorial Day. You know, it was started. I think it was after the Civil War when it was a day to set aside to remember those who died fighting in the war. And it's kind of evolved over the years to include, you know, those who've died in battles in all of our wars and the sacrifice that they gave. And it's certainly something we should do to remember those sacrifices and that service. But also, I think it gives us an opportunity to really reflect and remember all those who've gone before us. Who've given us a heritage, our family history, our church history, a scriptural history that's there. You know, it's not just about, we think pretty small about history. It's just us. It's just our families, but it's bigger than that. It's bigger. And, you know, I do want to kind of go down a theme of, you know, it was the Memorial Day. It was originally a military day, you know, to remember that service. So I want to, I do want to consider some of those things about the military aspects sometimes of this life we live in. And not that we're marching to and fro, but we're in a spiritual battle. And I do want to refresh us on that. And I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll start with verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." I'm not going to go through all of the pieces of the armor, but this whole idea that we're in a battle, and we forget that sometimes it's a spiritual battle that we face every day, and that's the thing about battles is, with battles you don't always get to decide when those battles are and where those battles are, because enemy sometimes determines when those battles are. And so we have to have that ability to be ready. And that's really what I'm wondering is, are we ready? Are we being good soldiers? Are we being a good army? Because of this constant battle that goes on. I want to turn as well over to Romans chapter 7. Molly and I were reading this afternoon. Starting with verse 14, it says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do." And, you know, and he goes on and describing this battle that he has between good and evil. And it's within his own flesh and blood. It's within his own, being. In the Book of Mormon and Mosiah, it talks about that natural man that's an enemy to us, an enemy to God. And that's the battle that's constantly going on of our selfish will and doing the will of God. And that's, you know, it's every day. It's constant. It's not something we can take a day off of. And it's something that requires some effort. Because, you know, it's about the time we think that we got it whipped is when it rears its ugly head again. And we're fighting that battle. You know, and it was, you know, back there in Galatians when I read, you know, is we don't stand in our own strength. It's when we stand in our own strength that we fail. It's when we allow God to lead, to be our captain, our general, whatever military officer you want to assign his rank. It's when we allow him to lead our lives. You know, because it is a battle that continues until we give up this mortal life. And I don't want to make it sound like all the battles are on the inside, because it's not. Because sometimes the battle on the inside is just part of a battle that requires us to stand up on the outside. To be willing to make that stand about what's right. To be that example when there's a possibility of ridicule, a possibility of loss, whether it's friends or reputation or whatever. Sometimes those internal battles have an outside, you know, an external component to it. Our everyday actions are part of that internal battle. Well, what does make a good soldier, I guess, really is what we need to talk about. Well, we have plenty of examples. So I'm going to start off with in Numbers chapter 13. And I'll start with verse 26. This is the return, you know, the children of Israel had walked from, you know, from Egypt to the promised land, and they'd sent spies in, and the spies had come back. And it says, "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and shewed them the fruit of the land, And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there," meaning they saw giants, basically. "The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." That attitude of courage. Yeah, look at the danger. But we have the promise of God. We're able to do it. And that's what I want to pass on is that courage wasn't based on just recklessness. It was because of their faith in God. That God had promised to prepare that. He told them, "Hey, this is going to be your land." And Caleb and Joshua were the ones that said, "Hey, all right, let's go." Was there danger? Yeah. Was there difficulty? Yeah. But that courage, that firmness of spirit, that moral backbone, which understands the danger, but nevertheless goes on with whatever that undertaking is. You know, and there's bravery, which is physical, but courage is more of a mental thing. It's an attitude. You know, you may be scared, you may tremble, but courage is what helps you go forward. And that's the thing, is that it's okay to be scared. It's okay to be, you know, to worry, I guess, a little. To be, you know, aware of the dangers. Because are there spiritual dangers? Yeah. But don't forget, we have the promises of God. That is the foundation of courage. That is the foundation that gives us the strength of character to say, you know, look at all these powerful people dwelling in these walled cities and these giants. But God promised. He's promised us things. He's promised His presence, His provision. He doesn't say that there's not difficulty, but He has the promise of His presence with us. And that's what gives us courage. That's what gave Caleb and Joshua that courage. You know, we all know the story of David and Goliath as well. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 17. You know, and David's willing to go fight this giant who had cursed God and the armies of the Israelites. And the crux of it is found in verse 37 of chapter 17. It says, "David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And David and Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee." And we know the end of the story is, you know, with the help of the Lord, David slew Goliath. But it took the courage to go out there and do it. And it's like with Joshua and Caleb, the easy way is to go along with everybody else. to stay huddled in fear. To look at the immenseness of the problem, of the difficulties, of the challenges. You know, both, you know, David was standing up not just to Goliath, he was standing up to the rest of the army of the Israelites. He was standing up to their ridicule if it failed. He was willing to go out on a limb and say, "I'll go do it." And Joshua and Caleb had to, you know, weren't just standing up against those people that lived in the Promised Land. They were standing up against their brothers and sisters, their family. They were all family. The people that were supposed to be believers. That in that moment of trial, their faith wavered, but Joshua and Caleb's didn't. Their courage was evident. And so it's a variety of different ways that we can be in those battles. But ultimately, when you boil it down to it, it's, do we trust God or not? Do we believe what He says or not? It's like in the first chapter of Nephi. When Lehi is given direction from God in a dream that they have to go back to Jerusalem to get the records. And just, I'll start with verse 63. It says, "Now behold, thy brothers murmur, saying, is a hard thing which I have required of them, but behold, I have not required it of them. It's a commandment of the Lord. Therefore, go, my son, thou shalt be favored of the Lord, because thou hast not murmured. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, said unto my father, I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded. For I know that the Lord giveth no commandments unto the children of men, save he shall prepare a way for them that they may accomplish the thing which he commanded them." The basis of Nephi's courage was the promise of God. It wasn't reckless. He wasn't trusting in his own wit, in his own strength, in his own, you know, abilities. He said, "I'll go do it because the Lord commanded it." That was the, and that, you know, going back to Ephesians, when we stand not in our own strength, but in the strength of God, in His might, and not our own. Nephi was standing not in his own wisdom, in his own strength. He was standing in the comfort of knowing, of a relationship with God, knowing that He would take care of it, that He would prepare the way. You know, another thing that makes that soldier that's similar to courage, that's I think it's found in the best examples in Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. This is the story about the three Hebrew Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, and this commandment that Nebuchadnezzar had made, this rule that anytime they heard the music, they had to worship this image, this idol, and they wouldn't do it. And starting with verse 16, it says, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of the hand of thine hand, O king. But if not, Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That resolve, that commitment, that dedication, you know, it's it took courage to say it. But it took resolve that whatever the outcome, they would hold on. I'm reminded of a quote from Stonewall Jackson. He was a general in the Civil War and known for his bravery. That's how he got his name, was Stonewall. That wasn't what his parents named him, although that would be an interesting name. But he got it because of his courage and his bravery and his resolve. They were defending a position and they would not move. They would not give up. They would not fall before the enemy. And somebody asked him about, you know, well, where do you get that kind of resolve? And he said, my religious belief teaches me to feel as safe in battle as in bed. God has fixed the time for my death. I do not concern myself about that, but to be always ready, no matter when it may overtake me. That is the way all men should live, and then all would be equally brave. You know, the Lord, our lives are in God's hands to protect or to take. And that's the same with these, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their lives were in God's hands. And they were willing to say, okay, well, if we die, we die. But we're still going to do what's right. It's that resolve. It's that grit. It's like when Joshua, at the end of his time, after leading the people into the land and allowing them, dividing the land, and he makes the statement that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. No matter what. You choose what you want to worship, but for me and my house, this is what I'm going to do. It's that resolve. It's like having a foundation that doesn't get rocked. Those are the things that get us through those battles. Those are the things that get us through those challenges. You know, I think it was Napoleon that said that hesitation and half measures lose all in war. When we go by fits and starts, well, I kind of want to go do what God wants me to do, but I don't really want to. And so we kind of take a hesitant step, but not really. We kind of make a stand, but not really. But we stand about one thing, but not another. All those fits and starts and stops and are not the way to win spiritually. It's coming to that place in our mind to say, I'm going to do what God wants first, regardless of the outcome, regardless of financials, regardless of popularity, regardless of friends, regardless of family. My courage and my commitment is to God. And that's what I want us to have, is that ability to endure the battle. Because don't forget, the battle is there. Whether we want to recognize it or not, it's there. You know, another component to a good soldier is obedience. It's like Nephi when the Book of Mormon, when he's, you know, the Lord prepared a way. And he asked me to do it, so I'll do it. He was going to do that which God commanded no matter what. In Genesis, in the 22nd chapter, it talks about Abraham and Isaac. Abraham, I want you to go sacrifice your son. Oof. Can you imagine the internal battles he had? But he was willing. We know the end of the story. But Abraham was obedient. Because his commanding officer told him to do something. He didn't make excuses. He didn't try to bargain. He didn't say, well, I got a better plan. He said, okay, you're the boss. You know, it makes me wonder sometimes how well I follow orders. Or do I, am I, when I look at some of those things, say, well, I know a better way. Or sometimes am I too proud? Sometimes I think that's what makes it difficult for me to make a stand sometimes. Because I don't want to draw attention to myself. And my own feelings are more important than obedience. Because it's uncomfortable. And we don't like to be uncomfortable. And so, frequently when I say, well, I can't do that, it's not so much can't as won't. But a good soldier of God does. He is obedient no matter what. And again, it's not like God asks us to do something that is impossible. If He asks us to do it, He provides the way to do it. And again, talking about Ephesians, we do it in His strength and not our own. I think that's one of the things that hinders us, is we see the challenge. We see I don't have the courage to stand up to my friends or my co-workers or whatever. Maybe we don't have the courage. But God can give it when we rely on His strength. That's what I want for all of us. You know, ultimately, do we trust God enough to be obedient? You know, I referenced it there a little bit in Ephesians about the armor. You know, He gives us all the tools we need. He gives us all the weapons, gives us all the protection, gives us all the ability. Sometimes it's us that don't put it on. We're the ones who don't use it, but He gives it. We go out because don't forget the battle's there, whether we want it or not. And so when we don't put our armor on, we're going out to battle wearing nothing but boxer shorts. Not a pretty picture. And not a way to win. We're not protected. We don't have our weapons. We don't have the tools that God had given. You know, and as parents, it's our job to train them. But when we become adults, it's up to us to keep up that training, because the training never stops. But ultimately, the mark of a soldier is the willingness to sacrifice. And it all comes down to our will. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 16. Verse 24 says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake will find it." You know, that willingness to allow our own will to be overcome by God's. It's not about what I want, it's about God, what God wants. And when we come to that point, when we truly give our will, then the battle's won. Then we've reached that point of truly being obedient. When we've reached that point of we can have courage because we've already given our life. We already know our future of an eternal life. So there's nothing in this world that can scare us, that can harm us, because our hope isn't in this life anyway. You know, our enemy. Our enemy isn't the people out there. Our enemy isn't other people. Our enemy isn't other churches. It's not what we would think. Our enemy is spiritual. And we got to know it. We got to know that enemy. You know, while we're here, I want to turn over to John chapter 8. Because this is our enemy. Christ is getting after the Pharisees. And he's responding to their accusations. I'm just going to read verse 44. It says, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it." That's our enemy. The liar. But he's so good at it. Because his best lie is to say, You can't do it. His best lie is to say, you know, you're not worthy. His best lie is to say to give up. It's too hard. His lie is to say that, you know what? Enjoy. There's plenty of fun things out there in the world. Go do them. Don't worry about spiritual things. It's a lie. You know, and hopefully understanding that nothing he says is true. You know, we should be able to recognize those thoughts and their source. Because he lies to our heart. Because that's where the battle is. He lies to us to say, you know what? You can find happiness someplace else. You can find joy doing something else. You can find eternal life someplace else. In reality, there's only one way to find it. And the Lord's provided it. You know, that what I hope for us as we, take some time, I want to turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want to start with verse 11. It says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power and everlasting. Amen." Fight the good fight. You know, that's what I want us to do. Because I know we can. Fight the good fight, because we're not fighting in our own strength. When we can lay hold upon the promises of God. Fight the good fight so we can have courage, because it's the source of our courage is the Lord. He doesn't ask us to do anything that he doesn't give us the ability to do. We just have to have the resolve, that backbone to do it. To be obedient, to sacrifice. And that's my prayer for each of us today. As we consider, you know, those things of Memorial Day. Because part of those things is, I want us to remember, is that Christ was the ultimate soldier. He displayed all those things in his obedience to his Father. In his sacrifice, in his courage, in his resolve. And he set that example for us to show us that we can win with his help when we don't stand in our own strength, but when we stand in the strength of God. So I thank you for your time. and wish you a happy Memorial Day tomorrow.